Nice to have Kellen Winslow with us again on Sports Byline. He's a member of the Pro Football and College Football Halls of Fame and certainly is widely recognized as one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. He played his entire 9-year career with the San Diego Chargers after being selected in the first round and playing his college ball at Missouri, where he was an All-American. And he was part of that Air Coryell group down at San Diego, led the NFL in receptions for 2 seasons, becoming the first tight end to lead the league in receptions in back-to-back seasons. He grew up in East St. Louis, Illinois. Now, I need to ask you, Kellen, about East St. Louis, Illinois, because Jackie Joyner-Kiersey came out of there as well, and she told me it was a pretty tough town when she was growing up. How did you find it?
If you stayed close to home, it wasn't much of a problem at all. Like most places, East St. Louis has had a bit of a downcline over the years. And when I was younger, I remember it as two-parent homes. Everybody had a job. There were plenty of jobs around. And we had a very comfortable lifestyle. Church every Sunday, family outings on Friday and Saturday night. But then the jobs left, the drugs came in, and East St. Louis, like a lot of cities who got hit by those tragic reasons, just kind of fell apart.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Jackie also told me that she never worried about getting into trouble because she said, my parents would do something worse to me than what the police would have done.
So true. So very true. Dad worked all day and he came home and the last thing he wanted to do was deal with problems with the kids. There were 7 of us, and I'm sure a lot of fathers were that way. They expected the kids to behave. And the last thing you wanted your parents to say or your mother to say or your aunt to say was, wait until your father gets home. it still makes you tremble to this day.
How important was football in your life, and when did it come into your life that it was important?
Wow. My story is a bit different than most. I didn't play football, organized football, until I was a senior in high school. And I grew up playing football in the street with friends, and I actually went out for one day when I was a sophomore for 2-a-day practices, and I thought that they were pretty much crazy. We're going to do this in the morning, come back in the afternoon, and then do it the next day again. And just really was very immature at that time. But then my high school coach came to my geometry class and end of my junior year and convinced me that I belonged on a football field. I took a leave of absence from working at United Parcel Service and came off of football my senior year. And I'm so glad I did. It changed my life. And it was really probably when I was a freshman at University of Missouri when I really started to understand what this football could do for me as far as opportunities in life and getting my education and paying for my education, that it really became important to me.
I mentioned about you playing your entire career with San Diego. Tell me about the first time you ever met Don Coryell.
Coach Coryell, of course, I grew up in the East St. Louis, St. Louis, Missouri area. And Coach Coryell was the head coach of the St. Louis Cardinals. And everybody loved the cardiac cards. So when I got drafted by San Diego and he was the head coach, it was just a godsend for me. I get off the plane in San Diego the second day of the NFL draft, and I meet Coach Coryell at the stadium. And the first thing he says to me is, how would you like to play some wide receiver? Not hello, not how was your flight, but how would you like to play some wide receiver?
And that really was transformative in the NFL, was it not, for tight ends at that time?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Coach Coryell, who really deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for his innovation and creative offenses, started the 2 tight end set. I was a rookie. They were trying to get me on the field. We had a veteran, Bob Klein, who was the starting tight end. And the way I hear the story, late at night, there was Joe Gibbs, Ernie Sambisi, Jim Hannifin, and Coach Coryell there in the room. And Coach Coryell, like 2 o'clock in the morning when coaches always meet. And Coach Coryell said to Joe Gibbs, take out the fullback, put Chellen in there. He can do all that stuff, and we'll get our first-round draft pick on the field.
I love
that. That pretty much changed football. I mean, it just changed the whole game.
Yeah, I love what former Chargers assistant coach Al Saunders said about you. He said you were a wide receiver in an offensive lineman's body.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yes, you should. And also, Don said, if we're asking Kellen to block a defensive end and not catch passes, I'm not a very good coach.
Yeah, well, yes. There was a lot of different opinions about that. But I think the value that I brought to the team was the versatility. I grew up playing chess, and once I realized that football and chess were the same thing, and once I realized that on the chessboard, I'm the knight, football made sense to me. And I went, oh, okay, I get this. I know what I do, why I'm doing it, and plus I know what everybody else does because it just made sense to me. Up to that point, I was probably a sophomore at University of Missouri when I had that epiphany and realized that I'm the knight. And so the game began to make sense, began to slow down. And then when you're, you know, mentally sharp and you're aware of what's going on, you can let the athletic ability, the natural talent flow.
You know, you were so talented, and I remember covering games on the West Coast, and it was just a joy for me as a sportscaster and as a football fan to just watch how natural and easy it was for you. I always came away with the fact, you mentioned about your love for chess. I always came away with the fact that you were a thinking NFL player, that you liked the mental challenge of playing the game, just not the physical challenge. Am I correct in that observation about you?
There was some physicality to the game.
Oh, of course.
It took me a little while to get used to that piece of it. As I said, when I was younger, and I was just so immature, and the physical stress of the game was really not my thing. But as you grow and you mature physically and mentally and spiritually, you realize that it's a challenge, and that every game, every practice is a challenge, and you can go out there and meet that challenge, and you become a better person by doing that. But, yeah, you know, you really have to think through the game. There's only so many people in the field, so only so much space that they can cover at a particular point in time, and the rhythm of it all. You know, a passing game, our passing game was nothing but a big dance. It was a choreographed dance. You had to be at a certain spot at a certain time, and that ball was released, and it was a thing of beauty when it worked well.
How long did it take for you and Dan Fouts to get on the same page?
Not long at all, because he made me read from his playbook. You know, Dan was the type of quarterback, the leader, where he had high expectations. You know, we could all talk in the huddle when Dan wasn't in the huddle, but when Dan stepped in the huddle, everybody got quiet. This was his huddle. This was his offense. And you were expected to learn your role in that offense, and you were expected to execute your job in that offense to the best of your ability or to get off the field. And that's just what the standard was.
The one game, of course, everybody remembers, of course, is the epic in Miami. That was the 1981-82 playoff game against the Miami Dolphins. And I'm sure everybody has a remembrance about it, but you must have an appreciation for what you did that day that maybe other people would not. What would that be?
Wow. Just the ability or the necessity to overcome, you know, physical challenges that day. Yes, it was hot. Yes, it was humid, but everyone else dealt with that condition also. I had some injuries going into that game and had some extra responsibilities before the game as far as motion is concerned. Our offense had a lot of motion to it, and I did a lot of that movement before the ball was snapped. It began to take a toll on me, and the Dolphins were, you know, they were working me over pretty good. But I learned a whole lot about myself that day as far as what I could take physically, what I could take mentally, and just how strong my faith and my spirituality was to the ability to play this game, that you have to reach deep to find those things also. So, you know, the catches, the block field goal, you know, all those are statistics that go into a column But I really, really learned a lot about myself that day facing that challenge.
Let me just share with everybody and put into perspective that game. Winslow caught a playoff record 13 passes for 166 yards and a touchdown, while also blocking a field goal with seconds remaining to send the game into overtime in one of the greatest single-player efforts in NFL history, and his yardage total stood as the playoff record for tight ends for many, many years. Hold on just a second, Kellen. We'll continue talking with Kellen Winslow, a member of the Pro Football and College Football Halls of Fame and widely recognized as one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. As we continue across the country and around the world, we've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.